that song was appropriate. He's going to embrace Father God while he's praying, and that's the whole reason we've been doing this series on prayer, is to encourage us to look at how do we embrace God. You know, hold me tight, put your arms around me. You know, how do you do that? We do that in prayer, and that's basically where we've been going on this series of prayer. That's teen dismissal. Is any teens still around? By choice, you can stick around. If you want to leave, you can too. Prayers of power is the subject matter for today. Teach us how to pray. We've been doing a study on the book of Acts, and as we went through the books of Acts, it's fairly clear that the kingdom of God advanced. How and why? Because the people were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The people were devoted to the fellowship, each other, and helping each other in very practical ways. That's where we get that great word koinonia, and we call it one of our groups, small group, is called a K group. Koinonia, dedicated fellowship, but also dedicated to prayer. They're praying people. So you have caring for one another, listening to the words of God, and a people in prayer. And as we were looking at that, it's just like God was getting a hold of my own life and teaching me some fresh lessons about the Lord's Prayer and how I can go into my closet daily and pray this Lord's Prayer in different ways. And as I do that, then I'm embracing the Lord Jesus, and I'm feeling his arms around me, and I'm being rewarded in that secret place of prayer. And it says one person was praying with me this morning in prayer before our church service. They were praying what? That all of us will grow in this year of the horse, this 2014, that we'll just be more and more a people devoted to prayer. So that's where we find ourselves this morning. And this question, teach us how to pray, was one which was asked by the disciples. It's not like, you know, remember there was one, two brothers, actually, Zebedee said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? You know, can I be on the right and my brother on the left? That kind of thing. No, it's not like just one said, Jesus, I just want to learn how to pray. I don't care about these other guys. No, they're all collectively saying, Lord, teach us how to pray, because we can clearly see that you, Jesus, pray. You get up and you go in the middle of the night out on the mountain and pray, and sometimes you get up before we get out of bed and you're praying, and we've seen how you pray and hear your prayers and you know, what is the essence, Lord? How should we pray? I mean, John trained his disciples. Can you train us? And so basically, that's what you and I are doing, saying, Jesus, here we are in DB. Can you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray. He didn't say, recite these words every time you pray. He said, in this manner. And that manner is called the Lord's Prayer. I think we're all very familiar with it, but I'd like to read it out today, and if you'll pray this along in your heart. But concentrate on this, on the first person plural. That's the ours and us's, we's. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, this manner embraces, if you will, these five prayer targets: God's honor, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, and today we'll be looking at power. God's honor, hallowed be your name. Our Father God who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we raise up that name. We sang of that name in our songs this morning. He is the Holy One. He is the Creator God. He is the faithful one. His love never ends. We honor his name with song. Hallowed be his name. His kingdom come. Not the promotion of our kingdom. The prayers are not focused on me and making life comfortable for me. My prayers are focused on how, God, can your kingdom advance in me, in my family, in my community, in my workplace, in my school, wherever I be. How does your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God's provision, daily I ask him for that. Now, it dawned on me after last week's sermon, we looked at we need basics of life. If you want to enjoy life, you need a couple of things. Number one, you need food. It's hard to enjoy life hungry, but 1 out of 8 people on planet Earth today are hungry. They're not really sure where their next meal is going to come from. Their stomach's growling, and they're actually feeling physical reaction to hunger. 1 out of 8. And I don't think any of those 1 out of 8 are in here, unless you're fasting by choice. But we also need another basic for life. Give us this day our daily bread, and that's a continuation connection word, and it's putting them together, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need daily forgiveness, fresh cleansing. And when we come to God and we eat physical food and we come to him and we get that spiritual forgiveness as we forgive others, when we're doing that, we live. We're at peace. We have psychological wholeness. So we need his provision for daily food, and we need his provision for daily forgiveness. But today is emphasizing on God's power. Now, what does that really mean? There's different power prayers, if you will. You'll see them in the Bible, and one involves this guy. Does anybody recognize him? Micah, is Pharaoh, right? So, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let God's people go, Israel go, to worship him. And the request is let people go, 3 days' journey away, everybody, livestock, everybody, we're going to go and worship God and have a great feast. And he said, no, you can't go, you can't do that. And all these different plagues came, and one plague was, I think these are the flies. Pretty big flies, aren't they? But all these flies were all over everybody except where? In Goshen, where the Israelites stayed. The flies didn't bother them. They were fly free. Well, this is just one of the plagues, and several plagues when they came and Pharaoh's suffering and his people are suffering. He says, okay, Moses, we've done wrong. We sinned against you and God. We'll let you go now. Just plead on our behalf that God will take away the plague. In this instance, the plague of flies. God listened and he took away the plague. Now, those are pretty powerful prayers, right? There's a big plague going on. And you can read about this in Exodus. And you can see the stories unfold, all those 10 plagues. The final one being the one that broke Pharaoh's back. But for this one, God answers the prayer and Pharaoh does what? He hardens his heart. That's a prayer of power. You may recall from the Old Testament. One of my favorites is this guy. This is Elijah on Mount Carmel. And remember, that it's kind of like the Super Bowl. Seattle runs all over Broncos. Well, this is God's prophet runs all over Baal's prophets. Fire comes from heaven when he cries out to the Lord to act. And it doesn't stop there. We know he kills the prophets on the mountain. Jezebel, who was the ruler of all these Baal prophets of Baal, what did she do? She hardened her heart. But there was great, magnificent display of power in prayer, both Moses and Elijah. But today's a little different. Today's emphasis is on Matthew 6:13. This is where we get our Lord's Prayer. Now, if you're with me, remember when we're embracing God, we're getting his honor. We're getting his kingdom, we're getting his daily provision, his forgiveness, and now we're looking at power. We want God's power to embrace it when we pray in our closet and when we pray together collectively in worship or in small groups. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead and deliver. God is leading you. God is sovereign over your life. And we ask that question in our song, who am I? That you, Creator God, who makes the universes and then came into ours, incarnate in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to a cross and was crucified, dead and buried, and raised again on the third day, and has ascended into heaven, from which he sits and rules, and has sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. This great God knows about your life. Who am I? He leads you, and he delivers you from this thing called evil. Let's expand that a little bit more. Lead us not to temptation does not mean that God will lead you and I into temptation if we don't ask him to do it. God does not tempt, and we'll look at a verse that'll clearly show us that way. So it doesn't mean God will lead you and I into temptation if we don't ask him not to. It certainly doesn't mean that okay, God, I'm a strong Christian. Bring on all the temptation you can. I don't care. You can put these temptations where I can draw from one bank account at work and put it in another in my name. Nobody ever know about it. You can do that all day long. I'll never fall to that. You know, just give me any temptation. No, you don't pray for temptation. But as God is leading you, there will be different trials. There will be different testings that will come in your life. There will be different temptations. But the most important part is but deliver us from evil. Now, this conjunction, the word but there is, in the Greek, it's ala, and it's not kai. Kai means and. This is a difference. It's kind of like you say, well, thank you so much. I'd love to go out to dinner with you tonight, but I've already made engagements. I want to stay home with my wife, Bonnie. What comes after but is very important. Okay, deliver us from evil. And as you're leading us and temptation may come along, okay, deliver us from evil. Now, the question then arises, what is evil? Well, the Greek word here you can see is poneiros, from which we get our word pornography. Evil. It's evil. When we ignore that there is a God who wants to have an intimate relationship, and he is called Father God. He's called Abba Father. He is the one who loves you so dearly and knows you intimately in everything about your life, where you work, your children, your wife, your husband, your friends, your fears. But he's also the transcendent God who sits enthroned in the heavens and will come to judge planet Earth and will wipe out planet Earth and create a new one. And when we ignore that there is God, that is evil. When we are not concerned about his kingdom and his will be done on this planet, that is evil. When we do not acknowledge him daily for our food and ask him daily for our forgiveness, that is evil. And there's only one thing that can keep you and keep me, James, away from evil is the power of God. And I need to grasp that in my prayers and pray, God, keep this heart yours today, this hour. Deliver me from evil. Now, let me expand that a little bit. James 1, 13 through 15. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person, and put in your name, I'll put in mine, but James, when he's tempted, he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Fill in the blank for 14. Put your name in there. Then the desire in James, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. That's why we die. So it's this battle of desires. You may remember this chart. I think I've shown it before. Boy, that yellow. Can you read it? We've got these natural desires which God has created us all with. He gives it to us. That's the way we are. We have good things in us, desires. But when these desires get out of whack, when we don't submit them to Him, then they become evil. They become something else. So the desire to enjoy. I enjoy sports, you know that. And I kind of like the team that's on top of the English Premier League right now. I watched a game last night, yeah. Now, if that game had started at midnight or 1:30, I would have had to record that game. I stayed up too late anyway. I stayed up to 1 o'clock last night watching football. It's okay. Football in itself is okay. But if all the time I build my whole life around it and I don't let my wife or my daughter into my activity, if you will, I don't include them. I just ignore them. I work and then I watch football. That's it. Well, what's happened? I've got this pleasure that's dominating me, this pleasure idol called entertainment, recreation. For me, football. There's all kinds of things God gives us that we enjoy. And I hope men and women, those of you who are professionals, or even you who are home engineers, you know, domestic, homemakers, that you enjoy that. And you get pleasure out of your work. But what happens if we get too much pleasure? We become what? We become work addicts, right? And we elevate work above God Himself. And that becomes evil. Now, eat, sleep, drink, sexual intimacy, all of these things can lead to addictions if we start to love pleasure more. So are you with me? This is just one desire. It can be the desire to enjoy, but when it gets out of whack, out of God's hands, then it can become a pleasure idol. It can become what's known in the yellow word called lust. Desire to have, it's okay. You know, desire to want something. What do you want? It can be something very simple, like I just like to have a hamburger at the club, you know, after church. That's fine. If you sit here and think about hamburger all the time, don't listen to the words of God or seeing, get in the spirit. You know, you got something dominating you. It's called this love for food. You know, it's something you have. You gotta have it before, and then after you eat it, then you say, "Oh, I thought that was is it." But it might be something bigger that we want. You name it. How about a grandchild? I'd like one of those. I don't have one yet. Roger's got a couple. I'm coveting Roger. He's got grandchildren. It could be a house. It could be a boat. It could be a ring. It could be a techie sort of thing. Phone, pad, whatever. They become material idols. Reputation idols, and that's a little bit of a different thing. It's kind of hard to deal with. Now, I think most of you really, really want to be good parents. But catch yourself not comparing yourself to other people and say, well, I'd never do what he did or she did. I'm glad I'm not that way. You know, it's be careful. You follow me a little bit here? It's okay to want to be something. It's okay to want to be a good pilot. It's okay to want to be a good pastor. It's okay to want to be a good business person. It's okay to want to be a good educator. Whatever your vocation, calling in life is, it's okay. But be careful. Because if you love that reputation more than that, you can become what? This becomes your idol, that your this pride. It's even called the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and then this desire to be is referred to as the devil. Pride. I personally don't deal with, I don't think I deal with it. I've got to be careful when I say this. I got to be careful how I talk with others about others. I don't intentionally gossip. But let's say somebody likes to gossip. You ever met anybody like that? Let's just say there's somebody who likes to do that. What do they do? What excites them about gossip? Well, it's kind of, it feels pretty good to get some spicy news about somebody else's problems, right? It feels good. You know, there's a pleasure in it. All right? That might be what's driving it. But there might be, you know, I just want to know the lowdown, what he did wrong, so I could use it and leverage against him. So I gossip and try to hear what other things I can get and get information. It might be just so you have that information, you compare yourself and say, well, how much better I am. So there can be these different desires operating in the heart for just the sin of gossip. Deliver me from my evil heart. You want to see the power of God come in your life? God, when I witness to people, I want to see them come to faith. I think that's okay. That's okay to pray that. Like Martin, God graced me with an opportunity this past week, and I could share Christ with a friend. That person hasn't come to faith yet, but I hope he'll keep interested. He's reading a book, and I'm praying for him. You know, God, bring this man to faith. You don't see God's power at work? Talk to him about your heart. In Mark 7, that's where Christ told his disciples, for it's from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile the person. This is what Christ says in Mark 7. He says, look within. This is where it is. This is where the things are bubbling around. As Jeremiah put it, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is the one who understands you and me and my heart. He is our cardiologist spiritually. He is the one that takes control and can make me a man whose heart is given to him. Can you pray this prayer? Are you praying this prayer? I ask myself. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, what about this guy? Some artist's rendition of the devil. Okay, what? You haven't heard you say too much about praying against this evil, you know? Well, yeah. The devil tempts us, we're told in 1 Corinthians 7 very clearly. And that's an interesting context. If you've read Corinthians, Paul is trying to get it straight on sexual relating, okay? And if you're not, as husbands and wives, coming to an agreement that we will abstain from intimacy, sexual intimacy, on one reason, and that's to fast and to pray, okay? And that's for a short time. And because if you abstain for a longer time, the devil will tempt you. That's the context of that particular verse. The devil does tempt us in different ways. That's just one from 1 Corinthians. The devil wants to get a foothold into our hearts to trap us and devour us. The scriptures are listed in Ephesians 4:27, 2 Timothy 2:26, and 1 Peter 5:8. Yes, the devil wants to get a foothold in my heart and your heart. And he wants to trap us to get us to where we are spiritually can do nothing. And he wants to devour us. But we are commanded, again, James 4:7 says, we are to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us. I want to see your power, God. Deliver me from you. And I'm going to pray that every day of my life. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to pray that. Deliver me from evil this day. I'm going to keep praying that. Actually, I think that's the reason the Lord's Prayer ends that way. He wants you to be holding on to Him and submitting to Him and resisting the whole day long. As you walk by the Spirit, as you follow the living Christ. The devil tempted Christ and fell. That is so important. Because sometimes He tempts us and we fail. But Christ did not. And my righteousness comes not on how I battle my temptation. My righteousness comes through my faith in Christ, who handled temptation completely pure. But it doesn't lift me off the hook. The one who saved me, the one who gave His life for me, says, "Now, James, as you live your life in thanksgiving for this great work of salvation I've done for you, I want you to resist. And I want you to submit. And I want you to pray. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil." Christ has destroyed the works of the devil. The devil accuses, he lies, and he tempts, but that doesn't bother God. When He looks at you and me, He sees just Christ's righteousness covering us completely. We are the perfect sons just and daughters in God like Christ. That's our faith. He destroyed the works of the devil. He can do all He wants to, tempt us. He can do all that kind of stuff, but He cannot have us. He cannot snatch us out of the hand of the loving God the Father. We are God's forever. And He'll send the devil to hell. We're told this in Hebrews 2, 1 John 3, and Revelation 20. Now, sometimes we get this picture that the enemy has a headquarters known as hell. No, that's not the Bible picture of hell. Hell is the final destination. The evil one, Satan, the devil, is roaming this planet. And he is not omnipresent. But he's got a lot of guys who work for him, all right? And some dear, well-meaning brothers and sisters in Christ think it's our job to figure out where those devils are and go get them, you know? No. God has defeated this all at Calvary when Christ shed His blood. And they're running scared. And there's going to come a time when they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Are they powerful? Can they devour? Can they tempt? Do they want to get a foothold into your life and my life? Yes. But the works of the devil has been destroyed by Christ. And his demise is coming. His complete end will be not in the headquarters of the evil guys. No, he's going to go be in torment for eternity in hell. Okay, the ending that is not there. It's beautiful. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." How many grew up reading the Lord's Prayer like that? I certainly did. And you'll find that, I think, what's it called, the Jerusalem Bible or the Vulgate Version. You'll find that in the King James Version and the New King James Version. I think you'll find that expression. But if you look at the New International Version, the English Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, you won't find it there. And I remember when I was reading the NIV, when it first came out, I said, wow, they left out this nice, beautiful verse. And I began to ask myself, well, how does Bible translation work? And let me assure you, when you pick up the ESV, the RSV that doesn't include this phrase, it's okay. It's okay, really. There's over 9,000 scriptures in the original languages, fragments, some complete New Testaments, but fragments that come from different areas of Asia. And what they look at when they compare that it comes from the different area of Asia, there's only one of these ancient geographical area where you find this. And you don't find it in some of the older manuscripts. So whenever you read the New Testament, this is a side bit, but I think we got to explain it, is when you read through the New Testament, and you'll see a little, like an A, B, C, or D, or maybe a 1, 2, or 3 next to it, and then you go down to the bottom of the page, it'll say, and some manuscripts say this. Well, if you have a Greek Bible, they'll tell you exactly which Greek manuscripts say that. And you can see the comparison. But these are few and far between. But this is one of significance, because I grew up with this phrase, and I like that phrase. And when I read the New International Version, I said, what in the world? Why is it not there? It's just not there in the original. And so what happened? Some people added it. You see anything there that's contradictory to the rest of the teaching of Scripture? No. Okay. That's right. But if you like that, you know, go over to 1 Chronicles 29:11, and it says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Couple of verses that follow will even amplify a little more. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures that speak of God and His glory and His name. To His name be the glory forever. Amen. I don't think it's wrong for us to publicly pray that way when we recite the Lord's Prayer. Now, if I'm wrong on this, the Lord Jesus will have to correct me, and He'll tell us all about in heaven. But I think the reason the Lord's Prayer stops, and not with that as we know it, but stops with and deliver us from evil and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think it stops there because that's the way we need Him to keep leading us. And then in Matthew's Gospel, it goes right into forgiveness again. The evil heart will not forgive. Being the main message of the Scriptures. Okay. Summary. You and I, James, is in desperate need for Father God's power to deliver my heart from evil. Believe that. Your prayers reflect that. How's your desires? Are they on the altar of love? Addictions, just a word about this. Some of us have habitual sins. It could be gossip. You know, really, I'm not teasing about that. It can. You find yourself, you're just doing it all the time. You want to quit, but you can't. Actual addiction is something where you find yourself doing and you can't stop it and you want to, okay? It could be smoking. It could be drink. It could be prescription drugs. It could be sexual addictions. It could be all kinds, food. Whatever. You cannot win the battle alone, okay? We need each other. Desperately, we need Christ. And we need to keep praying daily. Don't give up. Don't quit praying. Keep confessing. Forgive us this day. And keep asking Him for power. But Scriptures also tells us, brothers, if anyone is called, if you're trapped in any transgression, if you got some addiction, all right? You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. Food and drink. I don't want to see anybody get hooked on food and become obese. I don't want to see anybody get hooked on alcoholic beverages. And yet I know I too like to eat and drink, and I got to be careful, you know, on my intake as well. And I just can't. No, in gentleness, you seek to restore people. lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. To love. So if you're dealing with addictions and you'd like some help, just talk to me, and I'll try to be gentle. and I'll try to find a group of guys, a group of women, someone that fits you, that can minister and help you. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the what? Desires of your heart. You and I are going into that closet of prayer, and we're delighting and embracing God and His honor and His kingdom, His forgiveness, His provision, His power. We're really delighting in Him. He's going to give you the desires of your heart, and you're going to discover those desires are really good. Because you've been spending time in His presence, and He's been making you what? More like Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for the way You've been speaking to me in my daily worship with You, and just being able to take any scripture, and as I meditate on the truth, what I feel or sense You're trying to say to my own heart, it can be a springboard into grasping and embracing in prayer Your honor, Your kingdom, Your provision, Your forgiveness, and Your power to guard my heart and to keep me from evil. But Lord, one thing You've taught me praying this prayer is that it's for us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Or we don't think You care about us. Or we just ignore that You are the high exalted one who is to be hallowed. Where we think just our food comes from our own strength, not from the life that You've given us or the employment You've given us or all the many, many people You've blessed in our society to prepare food for us. Forgive us, Lord. As we forgive others who ignore You. But I pray for my friends here this morning, and I pray it for me. Make us a people who seek Your power over our hearts to keep us from evil. Even this day when we leave this place, even when we go out and start talking and interacting with one another, oh Christ, make us a people who delight in You. We thank You for the blessings of family. We thank You for work and for some of the pleasures, simple ones like football and tennis and different things You've given us that we enjoy to do, good books, whatever. But may we delight in You. Thank You. Continue to teach us how to pray. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.